Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Japan's greatest victory, Britain's worst defeat, the capture of Singapore in 1942 by the mastermind behind it all, Colonel Masanobu Chuji. And we've just had Penang, which Britain was out, and the Japanese came in, and when the British came back, they said, oh, what's that up there? It's the Japanese war flag. How depressing. And, of course, there's certain aspects that Britain's got too many supplies, somehow, in this area. It's well run. The leadership is a bit questionable, not being able to do night operations. So there's certain things, night operations, and the sort of I think these are suicide troops, so basically that they're committed to suicide. And it's interesting that if the attack's going well, perhaps I should go in there and die properly because I brought dishonour. And it's coming out that these people really believe in the emperor, these ancient emperors, that they're sort of this mad sort of cult that of sort of been in Japan. These Japanese have been in Japan too long. They've really got to get out of there. So they've been in too long, and so they've got the samurai legends, all these weird ideas going inside their head, and then you've got this savant soldier who's just, I think you should take a note that this is the most successful thing, and it's all down to him as far as I can see. Now, the Perak River obstacle. The Ando detachment, which had reduced the obstinate resistance of the Thai army after landing at Panti, did not find it an easy matter to join the rest of the division at the Perak River. Their objective was to seize the Perak River bridges, both road and railway, at the first opportunity, stealing a march on the main strength of their enemy. By day and night, they moved rapidly south along the mountain road along the jungle. It had been generally believed that in exceedingly dense, luxuriant jungle, with vines climbing around great towering tree, little movement would be possible except on the road. But after crossing the Malay frontier, the Ando detachment found that fortified positions and obstructions conducted by the British army. Judging from the evidence, there was no doubt the British invaded the Thai territory prior to our landing. The 6-foot staff officer Yakuz Aseda, putting on rubber shoes, advanced ahead of the columns and spearhead commander. Approaching the frontier town of Betong, a group of soldiers was seen on a high ground. Aseda thought to himself, probably it's a Thai army. I expect a truce has already been made with them. They are defending their frontier against an English army, he said. Having come to this conclusion, staff officer nimbly scrambled the hill. The swarthy, coloured, queer-styled soldiers looked at him strangely, laughing with a pleasant face, and without ceremony he approached them, saying, "Don't worry." He tapped the shoulder of one of these unfamiliar foreigners, an Indian shoulder. It should have been Thai. Turned and shot up from the hip at him with an automatic rifle. Unscathed, quickly cutting down several of the enemy, Aseda stumbled down the hill and rejoined the spearhead. He escaped with a hair's breadth. Poor things. After an obstinate resistance, the Indian soldiers were put to flight, and the Ando detachment, fighting on a bad road, crept through the jungle, eating fruit and moving towards the Kula Kasanga earnestly and without rest. When the strength of the division reached the Taiping after the capture of Alor Star, the Ando detachment signaled that it had been strongly counterattacked the previous day by European troops, evidently the Argyll and Southern Highlanders. God. At the mouth of the Neville Defile, the report stated that the detachment was within a day's march of Patak River breaches, and one or another they would reach their objective, but at the moment the enemy on high ground blocked the advance. After the sheer siege of the Taiping aerodrome, I hurried by air to visit the Ando detachment flying in a, quote, direct air contact machine, a small two-seated reconnaissance plane detailed for service with the army. The enemy fighter planes were operating in Aipu aerodrome nearby. As a large number of enemy planes were returning to their base after the sortie over Taiping, we took off immediately after they left. Feeling like a young sparrow stealing an eagle's eye, we flew between formations of enemy planes and turned towards the river. Oh my God, Father, he's insane! This reconnaissance was dangerous and not at all easy. Our eyes were flashing like those of a peregrine falcon. Our birds. There was whole birds here. You don't understand what's going on. Second Lieutenant Emma, the pilot, directed my attention especially towards the watching of the enemy planes, while I concentrated mine on the neighbourhood of Kuala Kasanga Bridge, which I saw had, was not yet demolished. Enemy vehicles frequently moved across the bridge, and large numbers of infantry were marching forward. This was surely significant. We dropped to 500 metres, so our reconnaissance would not miss anything. Obviously, it was still a powerful force of enemy in the north of Batak River, counterattacking the Ando detachment, but it would only be a few days before the bridge was blown up. To ignore the position and allow the enemy to demolish the bridge would be foolish. The Ando detachment would have to make the opportunity to send a powerful... Oh, I can see there's 3 points. My God, Father, these Japanese. To ignore the position and allow the enemy to demolish the bridge would be foolish. The Ando detachment would have to make an opportunity to send a powerful raiding patrol into the enemy rear. Without a moment's delay, the information... on the enemy's position had been given to the staff officer Aseda. He's the super spy one. He's gone mad. Turning it towards the Ando detachment line of advance, we flew low over the enemy rear. The battlefield was hidden by jungle and rubber trees, and we could not see the enemy troops. But rising in the jungle, we saw about 20 columns of white smoke, such as comes from burning of cotton waste. What's more, 20 enemy guns were holding up the advance of the detachment, which was becoming now desperate. It was impossible to make even the remotest guess at the location of our own and enemy infantry lines. We dropped the plane to an altitude of 100 metres and glared at the ground south like the eagles watching a rabbit. No, we could not see anything. Several bullets pierced the fuselage of our machine. Presently, we changed course from north to south. We saw the Japanese soldier rushing out. And reducing feet, eventually discovered the location of the Ando detachment headquarters. On some vacant land at the roadside edge of the rubber trees, the Japanese flag stood out clearly, and with this as a guide, I dropped a communications tube. The message as follows. This is what he said. What? Commander of the Ando detachment and Mr. Staff Officer Seda from Staff Officer Tsuji. The esteemed detachment, heartfelt thanks for your heroic fighting in several days succession, too. The main strength of the 5th Division penetrated tapping this morning. 3. The Patek River is still intact and enemy infantry moving north over it. Pay attention to vehicles moving south. To limit your ability to make a raid on the southern flank of the Patek River from the upstream. Take possession of the southern end of the bridge before demolition by the enemy. Your cooperation is desired. I pray that you may be your last desperate fight. Finally, I dropped some tobacco and cake on the soldiers who picked up the message. They looked up yearningly as we waved their grimy towels. Several officers appeared from among the rubber trees. Perhaps Colonel Ando and the staff officer, I said, was among them. We were too far from them to answer if we called. Praying the detachment would stand firm and now the objective was in reach, we returned to Taiping. Taiping. But exhortation and strenuous efforts of the detachment were not sufficiently to easily defeat the desperate counterattack by enemy several times the detachment's strength. Beck River, which had long been recognized as an obstacle, now appeared more formidable. The river was more than 500 meters wide, a vast flowing of unknown depth. If the enemy blew up the bridges and relied on the natural stronghold, he could easily hold a position for a month. According to information received from our Air Force, enemy reinforcements were moving northwards in rapid succession to Kuala Lumpur. The 11th Division, which had been defeated at Jitra, was assembling the remnants of its troops in natural stronghold. They seemed to have already been reinforcing by about one brigade. The infantry, the detachment, was obviously being concentrated in our front of the Ando unit. There was some of us who urged striking somehow or other. The exhausted enemy at the north side of the Prak River. The Prak crossing was held by the remnants of the 11th Division and by a Kohor force withdrawn from the Liege, together with reinforcements from the 12th Indian Brigade. Major General Endo, commanding the light bombers of our Air Force, shrewdly and heroically operated with the ground forces. My God, Father. Throughout the Malayan campaign, he was a man whose opinions were highly valued. He made a great stride in establishing his units at the Tsuji Planty airfield and sought our views on the plan to siege the Prak River bridges, quote, "The enemy demolition charges are probably at the southern end of the bridges," he said, "and upon withdrawal of the enemy from the north bank, there is no doubt the bridges will be blown up immediately. Tomorrow we should set out all our plans, concentrating with light bombs the southern end of the bridge to cut the electric wires and to the demolitions to prevent them exploding." I've got to tell you, so I've been trained in explosives, so, yep, okay. Later, we can keep continuous bombing to prevent the approaches to the southern end of the bridges. This is indeed a new principle. Up till now, plans have been used to blow up bridges. Now they have been used to stop them from being blown up by the enemy. We returned to Army headquarters on the dawn of the 22nd of December, agreeing to put the plan into operation. That evening, we could not go to sleep, praying for the success of the Andrew Detachment Patrol and hoping the enemy on the north side of the river would not retreat too quickly. About midnight, a boom like a distant thunder was heard. Ah, that's it. We thought it was the evil sound of complete blasting of two bridges over the Black River. As I had seen in the dream, the British Army had blown up the bridges and abandoned several thousand Indian soldiers on the north bank of the river. When fighting the Japanese Army, it was the British Army which excels in retreat. In the Japanese Army, there would have been no blasting until it was certain that the last of our comrades in the arms would cross the river. On the 22nd of December, in the early morning, the Andrew Detachment charged into Kwa Kunsa. The objective of their landing at Panti was not being accomplished. The officers and men of the detachment viewed the ruins of the bridges with anger and disappointment, but moved on rapidly to seize the platoon bridges at Planta further down the river. When they arrived at the riverbank, there was, however, they found even a thick mooring rope and a platoon bridge that had been cut by and the platoons themselves were full of holes. The army's plan to occupy the river bridges to forestall the enemy's demolition had been completely broken down, but a counter plan was immediately evolved to enable us to meet the situation. Oh dear. So that's 7 minutes, and next chapter is a long one. Chapter 25, Crossing the Perak River. At the commencement of hostilities, the Kanoe Imperial Guards Division, which had advanced to Bangkok, had ended its mission because of the cooperation of people. Oh, I hate you Thai people. I like the Thai people now, but back then we fought Japanese. The 5th Division had, because of cooperation, the 5th Division had continued severe fighting in hot pursuit for 2 weeks after disembarking without even one day's rest. Signs of exhaustion could be seen. Consequently, it was necessary to move the Guards Division in support of the 5th Division overfield. Just as in medieval champions, Tushu and Kuma had vied with each other to the crossing of the Yuji River, so the Guards Division and the 5th Division lined up before the Perak River and would increase our fighting strength by their rivalry. Oh, God. However, although the best brains of the Guards Division had been instructed about army plan before leaving Saigon, it seems they had little enthusiasm for the idea of making rapid progress to the battlefield. Troops of the Imperial Guards were hurried forward rapidly, so the advance of the Guard arrived at Taiping on the 22nd of December. But the divisional commander did not arrive until a day later. In a movement such as this, it would have been proper for the divisional headquarters to hasten, but it seems that the leaders had a tendency towards dignity and grandeur in the executive of orders given to them by the army. They moved towards Kuala Kansa to prepare the river crossing there. At a subsequent attack to Apo, it was anticipated that by the morning of the 24th of December, the division would have concentrated its engineers, a battery of artillery, and a full regiment of infantry on the forward area. The 5th Division was to cross the river in the neighbourhood of Ballinger and attack towards Kuala Lumpur through Kampam in one mighty drive. Boats used at Singor Landing were loaded on cars together with collapsible boats, small motor launches which folded up and could be carried a few men, complete with engines. These were set up on the riverbank as they arrived and could be used for crossing at any hour. These present preparations took time, but a week was not a long period to prepare for crossing such a large river in the face, oh God, of the enemy. And thorough preparation was only a common sense precaution. The Guards Division, earlier in the campaign, had believed it would be able to march leisurely across bridges, and if necessary, to hold consultations in the event of any delay. Their mentality was complex. Some had formed the opinion that the 5th Division would cross the river single-handedly, but the position developed that the Tuscuna and the Kachitoi were now indeed competing with each other for the meritorious deeds. And telephone inquiries were made of General Matsu, commanding of the 5th Division. He always answered, quote, "At what time will the canoe Imperial Guards cross?" And when the questions were asked of the Guards Division, the answer came back, "How's the 5th Division?" I don't quite understand. This is the Guards in the 5th Division. The Army Commander gave his decision, quote, "We will begin to cross the river on the 26th of December at 2000 hours, end quote, he said, basing his decision on information received concerning the movement of morale of its enemy troops. General Nishita's decision was contrary to the expectations of both divisions, each of which had believed it would be ordered to move when ready. The 5th Division, elated with its success at the beginning of the campaign, said, quote, "We will manage the crossing somehow or other," end quote, while the Guards Division, completing for honours, said, "We must not lose." The divisional commanders were already pawing the ground with impatience at being held up before this natural stronghold. Having completed the issue of army orders, I was able to spend a full day of army headquarters for the first time since disbandation at Sonora. Headquarters were located at the Taiping Middle School, where, from the point of view of supplies and business, there was an atmosphere of serenity suggestive of Saigon. On their way through the rubber trees during the advance, the soldiers had caught monkeys by giving them fruit and amusing themselves watching their strange ways. It was like a scene of a play. A member of the staff of the Imperial Headquarters was at the time visiting the battle line. He brought the news of the progress of the landings in the Philippines and the capture of Hong Kong. From our hearts, we rejoiced at the success of our comrades in arms. Staff Officer Sidan Hongo, who had been fighting with the Ando Detachment for over a fortnight, washed the dirt off themselves in a drum can hot bath under the open sky. It was possible for all to freshen themselves up for future operations. Staff Officer Kunitek was steadily making preparations for small boat manoeuvres on the west coast while both divisions were preparing to use boats along the enemy's southern bank of the Prak River. Stealing a march on all of them, the army prepared its secret plan for the capture of Kuala Lumpur. On the 26th of December, in the dead of night, the 5th Division and soon after the Imperial Guards Division came the reassuring phone messages, quote, "River crossing successful," end quote. "With only a few days' preparation, we had forced the crossing of this large river in the face of the enemy. Was it providence or divine grace? Up until that time, both divisions had met with success. Thinking over the matter since the disembarkation of Singora, all seemed to be a continuation of a breathless scene." According to Mr. Churchill's memoirs, there were already three Japanese divisions deployed on the front line at this time, but that was not the case. One regiment of the 5th Division Infantry was still in Shanghai. Barely a third of the strength of the Imperial Guards had reached the front. The 18th Division headquarters and two infantry regiments are still waiting in Canton. During the Takumi detachment, on the east coast, with two numerically weak regiments, we barely had two divisions in Malaya at this date. Opposing us, the enemy had full strength of his 3rd Army Corps, 9th and 11th Division, together with reinforcements of two brigades. On the Perak River front, the enemy was much stronger numerically than we were. In addition, in the line of the river, he held a natural stronghold. In air power, however, we were approximately twice as strong as the enemy and had practically acquired control of the air. This is not to deny the enemy's fighter planes were vigorously, aggressively quick to take advantage of any gap in our air superiority. At Abu, we were subject to the first night bombing raid we experienced since the landing. So the Imperial Guard Division encountered opposition crossing the Perak River, moving to Apua. They arrived in high spirits over the success so early in the war. As a matter of policy, units without battle experience were, whenever possible, thrown into action against weak opponents. This proved profitable throughout. The 5th Division, which crossed the river at lower down Blanja, had attacked on the flank by the newly reinforced enemy, but had itself outflanked the enemy on the sides of the morning of the 25th of December and driven them back. Thus, the division was able to complete its crossing of the river according to the schedule of the 11th of the evening of the 26th. One of the things I do notice is that what people don't seem to be doing is patrolling. So this is not giving away any secrets, but for any division, if you're in a fortified area, you send out patrols, fighting patrols, recon patrols all the time. You're never in your position. These people seem to be just sitting in their positions, not probing. From IPOA, we began our advance from Kuala Lumpur, the capital city of Malaya. The second objective of our military operations, a group of enemy reinforcements arrived to defend the Prak River crossing 2 days behind time. Our two divisions involved in the river crossing didn't encounter very serious enemy oppositions, but the operation nevertheless took a long time. Most of the fighting troops were ferried across by boats, but the passage of tanks and heavy vehicles at the rear supply troops we had to repair the bridges. After examining and verifying the damage, Major General Hattori, commander of the railway troops, reported repairs take roughly 3 weeks. General Bashir encouragingly replied, "Dear Major General, it can be done in a week." The available strength of the division was mustered for the work. Was carried out the full pressure of day and night. In barely a week, the work was done, and it was possible for heavy vehicles to pass continuously over the long bridge, which may have been a great surprise to General Percival. I must write specially of Staff Officer Hongo, who, as Reader will remember, had sprained his ankle on the landing, but had avoided medical treatment for fear he might be sent to hospital. Since the beginning of the campaign, he had to get around on the stick. He was in charge of the railways and kept them in perfect condition, effecting repairs and extraordinary rapidity. We're on to part 4, Dying Wishes from a Beloved Wife. Oh, God. Oh, dear, that's pretty amazing. Okay, thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.